Öyle cezaya saçan insan var.
Hare Krishna. Good, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I'm very happy, inspired to be amongst you and feel the young energy. I'm already have become 20 years younger, just being here, the right hand up and the left hand and all. I would like to introduce my subject, Finding Your Authentic Path. For me, this was essential because there were two things in my life as a devotee where I needed to be absolutely sure that I wish to stay on the path of Krishna consciousness. The first was when I was relatively young and my father told me, you must know if you remain a monk, I will have to disinherit you. You will not get your inheritance because I know that you, as a monk, will distribute your, you know what we will give you, and you will give it to poor people or to your mission and so on. And I have not worked for others. So tell me what you want. Do you wish to stay and continue? Or would you like to choose another path? Oh, that was not an easy one. I was still young in spiritual life, and it would mean to lose a few, a fortune, a lot of money, if I would stay on the authentic, if I would stay a devotee. So I said, give me a week to think about it. And after a week, I told him, I think to be a monk in Krishna consciousness and spread the mission of my spiritual master, that is what is my authentic path in this life. He said, good, you have made your decision. We maintained a very friendly and increasingly friendly relationship throughout, but I'm not angry at his decision because I can understand that he lost everything at the end of World War II and worked very hard to get a fortune, and he wanted that to remain amongst people he knew, not amongst people he did not know. The second challenge or test was when, after 22 years or so, some of you know this, I came into a crisis. I had given everything to follow the path of Krishna consciousness, but had not seen substantial inner changes. I had not become free from, for instance, the competitive spirit, which sometimes brings this bad quality of being envious of others' successes. I had not lost certain material attachments, and the promise had not been fulfilled, the promise that by following Krishna consciousness one would purify his heart. And I was put between a rock and a hard place. The rock was I hadn't obtained what I wanted, and the hard place was I would have to leave Prabhupada, and that was a terrible dilemma. I could not just go somewhere else because I was bound by strong ropes of affection to Prabhupada. I couldn't stay in Krishna consciousness and I couldn't leave it. So I had to then find, I had to be really sure now which thing which I would do now. So there were a few other crises, but I just wanted to make sure that you know I have engaged with the subject myself, finding the path that is true to me, even and remains true to me, even when there is temptation or even when there is doubt, you know, staying true to my authentic path means, of course, to first find it. And today I will be discussing how you might find your authentic path that gives you strength to stand up to any temptation and any doubt that will come up on your path and discover your treasures. Tomorrow I will have another take on this in another class. I will speak about maintaining our authentic path, stabilizing it, making deep roots. And the day after tomorrow, I consider that the most important class, to which the other two will lead up to, is, you know, discovering the inner calling and responding to it constantly. So this is a little bit what you will, which you can expect. I promise to speak English and not German. I know when the Austrian psychologist psychotherapist is perhaps better, Viktor Frankl, came to America, he excused himself for his poor English. He said, "I will speak to you in German with a little English accent." So I will, please, you, maybe it will enhance your listening pleasure to hear someone trying to navigate through your language, hopefully. Good. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you interested in this subject?
Yes.
Well, you can't say no of. Good. I thought to just make it short, Jaya Radha Madhava, to tune us all in. Please, again, keep the technique which we were learning this morning in your mind, mana samharanam, collecting our minds, our thoughts from its various other occupations and bringing it to this one place that is this Jayarada Madhava song and later the subject matter. You will get more when your mind is not spread out all over the retreat center. Deep inhale, and then it will help you to collect your mind. One more time. Your mind with the sound vibration of
Bye.
There are two quotes with which I would like to open my reflections. One comes from Platon: "Be yourself. Every other place in the universe is already taken." And the second quote: "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else or somebody else is the greatest accomplishment. The Bhagavad Gita sees this project of finding our authentic true path and be ourselves. The Gita thinks this is a very great project. My dear devotees, there are altogether four verses in the Gita that are repeated for emphasis. The first set of two verses refers to finding one's own true path here in this world, the way one is now, you know. And the second set of two verses which talk about this, talk about our path and relationship to God. I will not talk about this so very much today. I want to talk about how to find our authentic path now. You know, what should we do in life? What should we not do? What is my ashram? You know, these types of, should I study? Should I not? These types of questions. I want to read you one of these verses to have the words of Krishna in Sanskrit. Shreyan Svadharmo Viguna Paradamat Svanushtita Svabhavaniyatam Karma Kuvannapnoti Kilbisham. Our technologically informed devotee will now put the first slide for you. Yes. It is far better to discharge one's dharma, Prabhupada translates this here as prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's dharma or duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in other duties, for to follow another's dharma or path is dangerous. You have to stay on your own path, Krishna says here, even if you make mistakes. But if you would change your own path and try to do what is right for another person, you would incur danger. In the second verse, he again says the same thing. It is better to engage in one's own occupation or dharma, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's dharma or occupation and perform it perfectly. And in the second line, Krishna addresses the doubt. Well, if I do something and I make mistakes there, I mean, when you make mistakes, this is a bad result, is there? But he says, dharma or duties prescribed according to one's own nature are never affected by sinful reactions. In other words, if you stay on your path, even when you do mistakes while staying there, you won't incur bad karma. That's what he says. Wow. So it's you can see he really defends the idea to do what you are meant to do and not copy someone else. Let us hear some definitions about what is this authenticity, this being true to yourself. We have a slide for you, so that it's... Can you, by the way, see it? Somehow, no? Yes, one at a time is good enough. So authenticity, your authentic path, we are talking about it, means the quality of being real or true. it also means not a copy of someone else. Keshava Maharaj likes to say, to quote this, you were born an original, why die as a copy? No? Wonderful. So it means not a copy of someone else. In other words, I like Gaur Krishna and his modest nature. I like the way he sings and his very, very wonderful preparations. I think he will take on a few recipes of Radhika Priti, who is there to also advise us. But if I try now to sing like Gaur Krishna, to be as modest as Gaur Krishna, and to cook like Gaur Krishna, I would be a copy of someone else and not be authentic. No? It means also to be genuine. And I have another definition. It means true to one's own personality, one's character and one's spirit. No? One is true to one's own personality, one's character or spirit. Let's for making things simple, just say authenticity and our authentic path would mean I'm not a copy of someone else, but I'm true to my path and my nature, my character. No? I am myself. I'm not afraid. By the way, you can never be really someone else than yourself. It's not because wherever you go, you take yourself with you. And so, but yes. Why is it sometimes difficult? We have prepared a slide for you to easily follow. Why do people find it difficult and imitate others? You can see this, they dress in a way that they feel this is now the new fashion. I remember when I was young, we had these bell trousers, you know. They went, at the end they went like this, you know, at where the feet are. And I remember I wanted to be accepted in my circle of friends. And I said to my mother, "Mother, we have to buy these bell trousers." She said, "Why?" That's what cool people wear nowadays. And I want to be a cool person. I want to be invited. I don't want to be seen as boring. I still remember that. And my mother said, "Why don't you try to be yourself? Why always follow the changing things?" So what's the difficulty in being yourself? I experienced it. Well, it's expectations of others. And you are afraid to disappoint these expectations. Well, if I don't have bell trousers, do you know what are bell trousers? Then they want to have me in their circle, but then I look so boring. The expectations can be cultural. I wanted to say something. Society-wise, the type of people you expect, you like to be around, they can be cultural. These expectations and a mixture of everything else. Also, you may be afraid to walk your own path and be yourself because you are afraid of being judged by others. You're boring. Oh, you are this or that. And if you are a little bit conscious, you might fear to go your authentic path because you are afraid of your own inner demons. You might think, well, if I just do what I think, I mean, I might follow the path of lust and anger and illusion, and I might come off the right track, you know, and these inner problems which I still have might bring me away from the true path, my path of what I think should be done. My dear everyone, I will give you an example from my own life. I am from a so-called cultural family in Germany, and my parents thought I should also learn a lot. I should be exposed to culture, and they gave me one pass. I have many passes, but that pass would give me free access to all the theaters in Hamburg. Now, at that time, I was very interested in modern music. I liked the exciting new bands from England who had long hair and were dressing in a different way than the upper class German society expected. And I remember, I really liked this. I liked the free expression of the British young youth culture. And I dressed like that. And I remember once I went into a German version of Macbeth. That's a Shakespeare drama, English drama. And I was dressed in the way young people dressed who were influenced by the exciting music. And when there was a pause, I still remember I left my seat, my high-class seat, well-paid seat, and I went into the lobby where everyone mixes with each other in the pause or drinks perhaps as a glass of water or whatever. And there were these two aristocratic-looking Germans who looked so much down on me because I was not dressed in fineries and in a coat. And I became so upset with them, I said in German to them, "Was haben Sie für eine Schwierigkeit mit mir? What's your difficulty with me?" And they said, "Your dress. This is not a theater dress. Look around, that's how we dress." I was so disappointed and so rebellious, and I was not a devotee at that time. I left the theater and I never used my theater pass again. I felt so forced into by the expectations, and I didn't want that pressure. So here are some difficulties you might find also. Maybe I will disappoint my mentor if I myself. Maybe they will say I'm in Maya, fear of being judged. Or you might think, well, if I don't shape up, I will go down as a slave to my senses and my mind. These are some fears which turn up in the life of everyone who wants to walk his own unique path, which will differ by definition from the path of others, from a group, social group, from certain cultural expectations. If you have any questions, I will leave time for questions. I am aware that here we might have a question, but isn't it good to dress like devotees dress? Is it not? You know, there are some questions which will come up, but my dear everyone, to find your own path is not always easy in the light of expectations of others. I once was, when I lived in Berlin, we had a preaching center, I would sometimes leave the temple to do my mail and to do reading and prepare for classes. And I was always the guest. I got a whole apartment in Dr. Das, a Bengali gentleman, in his apartment, no, in his villa. He had a huge house, and I got my own apartment to write, to think, to do everything. I would live in the temple, but sometimes, perhaps once a month, go there and work on correspondence and so on. And next to my apartment was the apartment of his daughter. His daughter was conceived by Dr. Das and his German wife. She was a doctor, medical doctor, and every time she came home, the same scenario repeated. She came from her work. I heard loud screaming in the apartment, and she vented her inner pressure, or what it was, on her furniture and threw the furniture around. And then when everything, after half an hour of the scene, I heard the sound of a beautiful violin playing. So once I knocked at the door and said, "I'm sorry, I'm your neighbor. My name is Sachinandan Das Brahmachari. I hear every evening very substantial noise from your apartment. What is going on?" And then I hear the voice of a sweet violin. And this is her answer. She said, "My parents, especially my father, forced me to become a doctor. All I want is to play violin. But he said, that's not how you make money. You make money by being a doctor. As long as you're in my house, as long as you're my daughter, I expect you to follow my ways. So I'm so frustrated being a doctor that I don't know any other way to vent my rage than rearranging my furniture." I said, "You don't rearrange your furniture, you throw it around." And then I do what I like best. When I have let off some steam, I play my violin. My dear everyone, this will happen to all of you if you don't find your authentic path and just perform according to expectations of others. Because remember, all the places are occupied already except this one place, your own authentic path. I will, at the end, this is a short lecture, and I will want to take questions then. I try to give an answer to the question, how do I find my authentic path? As you know, there are many self-help books out. There are many good podcasts. Some are maybe not so good, but some are very good on, finding your Dharma, finding your purpose, finding your self, and so on. And I personally have given many Dharma seminars and attended Dharma seminars. Dharma is meaning your own nature, your own purpose. And I have always, I've looked at many things, many ways, which are, they are very useful ways there. And I have come up with a traditional path to find one's Dharma, which you might find interesting, perhaps even more than interesting, intriguing, let me find this out, and perhaps even challenging. my the method which I will introduce to you now comes from my own conviction that paths appear as you walk them. In other words, a path is a process, is an outcome of doing a certain process. If you would visit our little ashram, the Gora Bhavan in outside Berlin, you will find that we have a gate, a garden gate, or a gate that leads to our ashram, and then when you leave our ashram, you open the gate, you cross the road, and then you see the beginnings of a beautiful forest path. It's only this big. It is my path. In my when I go out, I sometimes do a japa walk, and I don't wish to be seen on the street by so many people, because it's an area of Germany where Nazis, do you know Nazis? You know, right-wing people live, and they are not so tolerant of other cultures. So I needed to make a path immediately through the forest to get on the main path that leads through the forest. But I needed to make my own path to get on the main path. And what I did is I walked and saw the best place. And as I continued to walk, I understood, well, let me go around this big tree. Then as I continued, oh, there are this stinging nettles. So let me avoid this colony of stinging nettles and go here. And in this way, my path has very nice curves in it, or very interesting curves. And it has appeared as I constantly walked my path in search of the ideal path, which would not bring me into stinging nettles or anywhere else, which was not so ideal for a path. No, the path appeared as I walked, and then saw this is best, this is better, this is super best, if that is an English word. So there is a very interesting Samhita which I discovered, which tells you which steps to do so that your path emerges. Are you with me? Yes? I think some of you will now look with increased interest. I want to be sure that before I give this method to all of you, that you are on it. There are certain activities, my dear devotees, friends, and skeptics, that if you engage in these activities, they will bring you to a next level where you can see clearer. It's almost like walking a path. When you do this step and then that step, and then the next step, it brings you somewhere where you see very clearly what are the next steps, what is to be avoided, what is to be adopted. Good. In the Parama Sanghita, from which we will quote now, you will find Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, approaching the Lord himself with a question. What is dharma? What is one's natural path? And the answer is, dharma is all which he gets is almost performed for the welfare of others. It's beneficial for everyone. And the second is, it pleases the Lord of the universe. There is no doubt. So the Dharma, as we can see in our next slide, there are three Dharmas. Dharma of the mind, what you do with your mind. Dharma of, help me, I can't see it so clear from here, speech, yes, and Dharma of the body. Okay, what are good mental attitudes that help you to find and see clearly your authentic path? The first is, you will be quite surprised, Shraddha, or faith. Is it possible to keep the other two hidden, or is it not in the program, not in our, what we gave you? Okay, so please look only Shraddha. My dear everyone, you will have to make choices in your life. It starts early in the morning. How cold or hot would I like my shower to be? It starts, and do I follow the ringing of my alarm clock or not? You all have to make small choices, and you have to make very weighty choices. Will I enter into a friendship with such and such person? Yes or no? Will I perhaps make a major decision and leave England and go to Alaska? Yeah, there have been some devotees. Well, they left Germany and went for job opportunities to Alaska. Base your decision on your aspirations and not on your fears. Follow the path of your hopes. Follow the path of that which is slightly beyond you, which is a little higher than the level on which you presently perform and live your life. Have some basic faith. Anyways, my dear everyone, all decisions are made on faith, that if I do this, this will be the outcome. So make your decisions on your aspiration, based on your aspirations and not your fears. Then you live a hopeful life and not a fearful life. You follow the wisdom of this? This will bring you faith. Is defined as the belief in something higher, you know, what you presently do. This will bring you forward. Basing your decisions on your fears will bring you downward. This is the Dharma of the mind. Maybe we could say hopeful faith. Maybe that is. But faith, the word entails fear. The next is, once you have made a decision, adopt dhriti or determination. Determination could also be described as a commitment. I'm going to do this in good weather and in bad weather. Commitment, my dear everyone, makes a good idea into a reality. Commitment turns a good idea into a reality. Therefore, determination is important as a quality of the mind. And the next is, my dear everyone, you are young. I'm a little old, but not very old. Be kind. Kindness, prasada to other. The moment you are kind to others, it means ahimsa, non-violent in words and thoughts and in action. Whoa! Your day will be totally different. Adopt ways of kindness. These three. Shraddha, of faith in something sublime or higher than what you have at the present moment. Determination or commitment. in Prasada kindness will put your mind in a framework where you can see your unique path. From the mind, speech develops. If you are dharmic in your mind, your speech will follow. If you are in your mind, your speech will be like this. Because speech is always created in the mind. So there are three things, and I will get a little bit on your case here. Let me see, I can't see because the sun, it's not a problem. The sun is very much welcome in winter. But is it on? Yeah, but they have to see. I know this. Yes. So the dharma of your speech, try to speak what is truthful. May I encourage you to practice this for 3 days, to say things which is truthful. If Abhiram says, "How are you guys? Isn't it fantastic, this seminar?" Then you go, I'm still trying to see the fantasticness in the seminar. I mean, maybe it's not polite to say like this, but in general ways, try to be truthful. It's saying that what you speak will affect others, and it will affect you also. So try to be truthful. This is not always easy because of the social expectations around you. So in order to be truthful, you have to have two other things in place. Always be affectionate. You know, when you're truthful, don't speak truthfulness with hatred. Speak truthful with affection, and everyone will appreciate you. Only when you're truthful with the opposite of affection, people will not appreciate. And then try to express the truth in hitam. Hitam means in a pleasing way. You can always find pleasing words, and then your truth will be accepted by everyone. This is the dharma of the speech. The next dharma is about the body, and our devotee will put it on. I can't see. Have you put it on? Good. I was surprised when I got the answer. It is devotion. With the body, you should serve people. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. It's an austerity of the body. Have purity in the body. That means cleanly, outer cleanliness, and your purity is really something inside. And charity. About the last thing. Once I was at Radhakund, and I passed a few widows who were sitting, begging for alms. So I had an extra chapati with me, and I gave the widow in her, she had her garment like this, the chapati. And at that moment I saw a dog coming from the side and eating the chapati, robbing the chapati, stealing it and eating. And at that moment, something was stirred in my heart. The widow had wrestled a little with the dog, but lost and had no food now. And I decided at that moment, Let me not just come to Vrindavan as a beneficiary, someone who enjoys the vista, who takes here some drops of water and so on. Let me give something. My dear devotees, the need of a spiritual person is growth. He needs to grow in devotion, in purity, perhaps. And he also needs to contribute. When you know that you can contribute in a meaningful to someone else's life, you come to the next level. So these three things, dharma of the mind, dharma of the speech, and dharma of the body, will help you to find your authentic path. It is so difficult to make a decision, should I marry, should I not marry? I know this is the main subject of young Pandavasena people. I know you now since a few, more than a century? No, century is 100 years. It feels like 100 years. Or should I become a dentist? Or what is the job opportunities for Gujaratis? dentist, oh yeah, accountant. By the way, there are many other opportunities. Is it all right to make a cultural joke? You know, it's not with bad intention, you know. I know these questions are difficult, especially when we are young and so on. And most probably, we can't make our mature decision on these questions. It's called in Sanskrit Svadharma, the Dharma I do with my body and my mind, as I'm now. It is very difficult, and many of you are torturing their young minds with this. What should I become when I'm older? Oh my God, I don't know. I guess happy, but that's not in the job description of our society. I guess I should. You know, it's not clear, but it becomes clear as you walk the path of the Dharma of the mind, the Dharma of the speech, and the Dharma of your activities. I invite you to take a snapshot. I will leave this photography or this PowerPoint on the table and experiment with some of these things which come easy, and you will most probably see that your own unique path will open up before you, like my path through the German forest opened up to me. I'm very proud of this path. It's the only walkway I have constructed in this lifetime, and it works very nice. It's very romantic, scenic, beautiful, and more than anything, it is my path. My dear everyone, your Dharma is already waiting for you. Do you know this? It doesn't have to be invented by you. It's already there, and you grow into it as you choose mature mindsets, mature words, and mature activities. You grow into it just like a seed grows into what it is meant to be, an banyan tree. No? So finding your Dharma is not such a headache if you know the path that brings you there. And I think the Parama Sanghita has some very good inspirations for this. Hare Krishna. I wanted now to end with a little, with two little Dharma stories. In Vrindavan, there is one place. It's beautifully crafted now or made. It's called the Brahmakund, and it's a place where Bilva Mangala Thakur of old performed his bhajan. It's a place where also the woman Saint Mirabai has often been seen in her times. It's a place where many people have, or sadhakas have attained enlightenment. And a little bit, let us say 10 steps away from there, there used to be the temple of an extraordinary woman. She was born as the daughter of a minor king. In India at that time, there were small kingdoms, many small kingdoms, who were ruled by one emperor, you know. So this young lady heard from a priest every day about Krishna's attractive pastimes, and she became attracted to Krishna and thought, my path is different from the other royal children here. I should go in search for Krishna. So the time came when her marriage was arranged, and she was conflicted. After all, she thought, my good father has arranged this marriage, and he expects me to marry like this man. But this man is an absolute materialist, this prince. And she was conflicted. Should I stay and marry, or should I go and go to Vrindavan? She couldn't come to a decision. Only the night before the marriage, everything was decorated. She prayed and she heard that unerring voice in the heart. You are mine. Come to Vrindavan. And everything was clear for her. She, in the morning hours, perhaps 2-3 o'clock, when everyone was still fast asleep, she went in the direction of Vrindavan. She only took a knife with her, a knife with jewels. She was a Kshatriya lady. In the morning, when the maidservants came to wake her up and dress her for the marriage, they didn't find the princess. News were brought to her father, and the father said, let me check if the knife is there. If the knife is not there, she is gone. So they looked, and the knife was gone. This is too much. I mean, she's so stubborn. Every lady needs to marry. Social expectations. The army was informed. Small army, you know, it's a small kingdom. And they went out and they came after the princess. The princess had asked some people, where's the way to Vrindavan? And they had pointed out. Now the army was coming and asked the people, have you seen the princess? The people, oh. This way. So the army came close. Then the princess knew, if I'm caught once and brought back, this will be the end of my authentic path. What to do. So there was a dead camel. She took her knife, slit open the belly of the dead camel. I don't recommend this for any lady here. Took out the entrails. Is it called entrails? And then hit in the stomach of the camel until the army had passed. And then she stayed a whole day there in case the army would return the same way. And then she continued her path to Vrindavan and became a very, very great saintly lady. My dear everyone, I don't think that is the path of every one of us, but it was her path. And she overcame her difficulties, her obstacles. Because there is something like when you follow your authentic path, you are protected somehow or other. There's this verse, Dharma Rakshita Rakshitaha. Someone who finds his Dharma and walks his Dharma, they are protected by the universal Dharma. So that is my one example. I'm attempted to give you a second example. I could give the example of Steve Jobs. But I have preferred to give the example of our Ghanasyam Priya, who has so much charmed my heart. I met him when he was a brahmachari, and he had been the president of Pandava Sena. And somehow he felt there was a calling he had not yet answered. But he did not know, or perhaps he had an inkling. He became very sick, and every time one wanted, I remember he had always a big head and chatters. He would not get warm because, and I had the feeling this person is just about to have a breakthrough where they find their Dharma, but because he has not yet found it, he has to go through the growing process, which is sometimes painful. And then he started with the videos. I remember I saw one video. He had a note, money, £20. And he said, who wants this money? Then everyone says, of course, yes. Then he made like this with the money, and it became a ball of paper. Who wants the money? And we still wanted the money, because money is money. You can use it. So he said, in the same way, yourself, I hope I say it correctly, is always of value. In whatever shape or form, it is always of value. And I would like to say today, finding yourself on your authentic path is always of value. We may not become an influencer. We may not become a big kirtan singer. We may not become a very successful dentist who has done 200 successful wisdom tooth extractions, you know. We may not, but that's not the point of life. The point of life is to find your authentic path, because that pleases Krishna. That is our value. So whatever it is, that pleases Krishna. And I want to encourage you, go that path. By doing what is right, the rest will follow. Doing these dharmic things. Also, for instance, we have these four rules and regulations, you know. Follow them. It will set you on the path of Dharma. You know this is already good for a sattvic life. And when you walk your first steps on this, everything will become clear. Do your sadhana, your spiritual practice, and everything will become clear from that. Dharma, or your authentic path, is not a construction in your head. Dharma, or your authentic path, is there waiting for you to find it, and you will find it when you walk the path of this Dharma of the body, not what is the mind, the speech and the body. That is what I wanted to say. Is it okay? Yeah, you cannot. You cannot. What will you do when there is a speaker who tries in a noble way to tell something? Then we want to encourage him, of course. Good. Let me. Oh, we are in good time. We have a little time, like 20 minutes, I see here, for question and answers. Please ask your questions. I see I saw Radhika Ranjan, then Ganeshyam Priya. No, we can go and let me look in the Mataji direction. I have seen you first. So, but we have you on the list. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, the one area that I find interesting was the Dharma of speech, because the way that you presented it was, it wasn't mutually exclusive, that if it's truthful, if it's affectionate and it's pleasing, then it should be spoken. But I find it a little conflicting, or my mind isn't quite connected with it, because I feel that the world that we live in is filled with hermeneutics, where everyone says one thing and they do another.
Yeah.
And even to gain influence, sometimes you might say something affectionately and truthfully, but it may not always be pleasing to everybody. So then, is the principle that they all should be, all of these categories should be fulfilled, and then only speech should be, one should speak only when these three things are there, or do we take liberty and license when it comes to the authenticity of speech.
Yes, it is a very good question, a very relevant question. And my answer would be, get the inside right and the outside will follow. In other words, if the place from which you are speaking or coming is that you are truthful, that you are, let me look, speech should be affectionate, that you are not, and that you want to say it pleasingly. I have seen in life, if the insight is really good in you, and if you have worked on your insight, you can say almost anything. I have seen this in my life. I have seen it in sometimes difficult conversations where you know when you say something truthful that you observe, it will bring tears to the other person's eyes, or he will become so upset with you that he will say something back to you out of revenge, perhaps, and so on. But if you really work on your insight, then you can say it. I would like to give you an example. Once Prabhupada chastised one of his disciples who had called the scientists rascals. And his point was, Prabhupada thought they are rascals, you know. But he said, you are not me, you can't say this. Because the disciple had not gotten the insight right as of yet. So as long as we, or let me say it like this, come from a place where you wish well to everyone as much as possible, and then you can say things. If you don't wish well, then the reaction will come. But if you wish well, and by the way, of course you can't satisfy everyone. Therefore, be sure that your mission is right, and then stay on the right way, and there will be always. Especially, you know, I had once a friend, I will end with this, a good devotee. He has written many very good books. One is on reincarnation, which became a real bestseller. His name is Raja Vidya, or Ronald Syrer. Maybe you have heard about him. And to take care of his growing family, he became, I have to turn to the football experts amongst you, the one who decides on the football field is a referee, isn't it? And he said to me, being a referee has taught him an important lesson. Whatever your decision is, 50% of the people will not like it. he said in an exaggerated way. I can imagine when things are very clear, or who shot the goal and who, and so on, and the referee confirms it, that that's no problem. But there are these gray areas, you know, and then 50% will not like you. That is also there. But here in this lecture, I want to say, walk the path as good as you can, and your authentic part will reveal itself, and it will manifest. Now I will go to Ghanasyam Priya. Ghanasyam Priya, you have exceeded me in many ways. I hope that I can go to, can give a good answer to your question.
Thank you for such a wonderful class. Maharaj, I was thinking about this question is hopefully for either people who are thinking about it in the audience or may not be thinking about it, but it lives in our hearts subconsciously. So I was probably like one decision away from not following my authentic path. And I think when you're actually in that crossroads, when you're living here, you can see how much you would have missed out on Krishna's miracles, because I would have accepted that what I had at the time was my lot in life, and that's all I was meant to do. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, it can look very glamorous and interesting and exciting, and it can look like someone always knew what they were doing, but the truth is, I didn't. And so I ask that because I think so many people simply accept that where they are is their lot in life.
Yeah,
and they don't really believe that they're made for more or meant for more. And I don't mean more by, as you rightly said, I don't mean more by scale or by success. I mean more by, as you rightly said, everyone here, their dharma is waiting for them.
Yeah,
but I don't think we deeply believe that because we can't see it. And so how does one open up to that idea deeply rather than just listening to you and then go, yeah, but you know, I'm going to be a dentist anyway, so who cares? So how do you open up to the idea that there is I am meant for more, and more doesn't mean material or success or external, but internally I'm meant for more?
This was one of my main questions, and it has surfaced again and again. And I found I found something very interesting in the Christian tradition, which I think is true, and it's one of these universal truths that is going beyond a particular religious belief and is true everywhere. It's one of these truths that are true before religion even existed, or different religions existed. When something is your dharma, I think it will knock on your door until you finally live it. The example is the doctor's daughter who became a doctor, although she was meant to become a violinist. It came again and again and again and again to her. I do not really know. I lost sight of this family when the father died. I was mainly related to the father. What she became in the end. But what I want to say is, it will come again and again if it's your Dharma. And the story which is given in the Bible is Jonas. He heard a voice inside, a divine voice that informed him, you are actually meant, you are a preacher, you are meant to give the clear path of worship of God to the people who worship so many demigods at that time, Babylonian demigods. I wish you to go to, please help me, is the town called Babel or we know it as Babylon? What? Babylon. So he knew if I go to Babylon, go on the marketplace and say, listen people, it's very simple. You don't need to worship so many smaller gods for everything. There's one supreme. People, what will people say? They will either throw potatoes at me, or they will even go to extreme measures as to imprison me for spreading a wrong teaching. I said, I'm not up to it. But the voice kept coming back. The gentle nudge came back. And he said, oh my God, I have to avoid this. And he went to the coast and got into a ship and went to the ship. He wanted to go to Sicily. But on the way, the boat came into a terrible, how would you say, storm and started to sink. So he thought, my God, there's someone behind me here. He wants me to go to Babylon. What do I do now? I mean, we are going to sink if I'm not going to Babylon. So he said to the captain, throw me overboard into the sea and you will be saved. The captain said, I never heard about such a method to escape a storm. No, you see, said Jonas. And so they threw him over the board. He fell into the raging waters. But because he said, okay, I'm a preacher of the gospel, a whale fish came, swallowed him, and swam with him to the coast. Then he spit him out. Sorry, it's not so clean. And then he walked to the beach and asked, where are we? The answer was, before the gates of Babylon. And he then needed to go inside the town. It's my conviction, Ganesham Priya, we may run away from our Dharma, but there will be no peace for us. And we are not in our Dharma. And yes, people, you are right, are then preferring an unpeaceful, disturbed life to taking the risky step into the unknown. But the knocking on the door will never, ever stop. And people might then, okay, they might be dentists, and in the free time they might preach. You know, they might find a compromise between the two. It will become clearer, this question, because it is not answered with my answer fully. I think trembling in the face of a call to Dharma is very natural to us, and avoiding it perhaps and going what seems to be the comfortable path but which is not our path is maybe many people do this. Actually, they live a life of silent desperation because of it. Silent desperation. They may sometimes, and they may not know, why am I sick? Why am I always uncomfortable? Why am I always so critical about others? It will come out in unhealthy ways, this blockage. And yeah, therefore, they need to be encouraged. And I think this path of starting slowly, you know, make your first steps on the path, and then it will come, is realistic. I also have said to devotees who are thinking, should I become an ashram member for some time, or for the rest of the life? I say, why don't you first try for a period of 3 weeks or 1 month or whatever, and then you will see more. Paths show themselves when they are walked, and I think this is a healthy approach to the question. Good, there was one last question, your good name, please.
Gauri.
Gauri, yes, Gauri, please. We have a microphone for you. Your question is regarding patience?
Yeah. How can we build more patience? And when I thought that I'd ask you that, the first thing that came to mind was following the karma of the mind and building it. But sometimes, like for me, I can say that it's in my nature to be impatient, and it kind of gets into me, and I feel like it delays me more from getting to my set, like
destination, what I want. Yes. Gauri, that is very good. Yes, sometimes we have to sit a little in the waiting room of God before the door opens and the divine doctor says, here, go this way. You can increase your patience by increasing your faith. Your faith. That this is true, this is the faith. The Lord will show me, or Dharma will show me. I would like to give you an example for my own life. I was in Vrindavan, like every year, and I must admit that the environmental issues that increase in Vrindavan, especially during the month of Kartik, are a little challenging for me. Like I heard this year, the number where the human being can healthily exist of air pollution is somewhere at 70. At 50. When it's up to the level of 50, I don't know how they measure it, but it can be measured, the air pollution, then it's safe. It was 800 this year. 800! I don't know how much more than 50 is 800. How many 50s fit in 800? Hundred is 2 times 50. It's for 16 times more than the human being can tolerate. Can is healthy. Is no. And I'm sitting there trying to chant my rounds. You know, and but Vrindavan is my ultimate destination. But now I only hear coughing and my critical, environmentally trained mind. What is wrong with these Indians? They have the highest philosophy, but the greatest amount of unconsciousness, you know. And you know, a German mind can go in dangerous circles, you know. But then I felt to myself, this is the land of Krishna. It can never be just like the soul is always pure even in an impure human body, which develops toxicity and develops stools and urine and so on, the soul remains pure. The Vrindavan remains pure despite the environmental pollution around and so on. And I can't see this as of yet, but I have, let me read some good texts in which I have faith to boost up my faith. And I did it. I worked up my faith, and then I could be patient, and I survived. I'm still all right, not all right, but healthy, and better times. I could go through this stretch when the farmers burn their fields and the air pollution becomes so heavy. I could patiently go through it because I lived in the land of faith where I was not influenced so much. When you have a strong faith, waiting is possible. When you have a strong faith, then obstacles which appear on your path are possible to tolerate. When you have a strong faith, you can deal with unpleasant people easily because you are safe in the land of faith. But if the faith is very weak, then small things just derail you entirely from your path. So increase your faith, then you increase your longevity, life, your long life on the spiritual platform. How do we say in English? Longevity. Yeah. Increase your faith and you increase the longevity of your spiritual life. Good. I will now secretly look at the wristwatch. Yes, we have gone to our limit. Thank you very much. Please keep in mind, we are just starting a journey, and we will go into at least the last lecture. Will be, I think you will love it. I'm also very interested in Christian's feedback because he spoke about calling very beautiful last year. As some of you will remember this excellent presentation. And I have now also want to also say, and hopefully he will find it nice. Good. All the best for you. I stop here and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.